the NBA world.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
What is going on, folks? This is your host, Headphone Joe, and I'm here with my co-host, as always.
What's up, everybody? Brennan Tassif coming to you live from the beautiful city of New York.
From New York City, and you're listening to Cheers from the Press Box, which you already know because I'm assuming you press play on your podcast devices. So we're going to get right to it. We're in the muck of the basketball season. It's March now, so March Madness is about to ramp up. We got college tournaments about to start here shortly, conference tournaments, that is. But there's some big things going on in the quick hits. I say farewell to a living legend. And then we got some soccer and whatnot. So without any further ado,
ready to return the opening kickoff. Perfect way to kick off. Here we go.
Brennan, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Are you ready to capitulate, even though you've capitulated like four times already?
No.
Brennan, you have to be ready to capitulate.
I'm not ready to capitulate.
There's nothing to stand on here anymore.
There's Steph Curry's playing out of his mind.
Steph Curry had like 13 points yesterday.
That was a blip.
He had 4 points yesterday. Sorry. That's a little bigger than a blip.
You want to tell them what we're talking about?
So the Golden State Warriors went into Boston last. Was this a home game?
Yeah,
no, okay. They went to Boston. They went over to Boston yesterday. And at one point, I think they were down 80 something to 39, 88 to 39. And I was like, wait, this has to be like an ESPN Gamecast error here. But no, the Golden State Warriors were down huge. They ended up losing this game 140 to 88, which is a 50 point game loss. There was a 50-11 run at one point because they done came to the club like 50-11 times.
I thought that's where you're going with that.
Shout out to the Ying Yang Twins. Oh, trust me, Twitter was all over that one. So yeah, Brennan, is this how the end looks? Is this what the end? You have to say it's over for these guys. Like, even if they make the play in, like, no, this is how like the Wizards lose, how Detroit loses. This is not how a team that has championship pedigree takes an L.
So I will remind everyone when they played the first game of the regular season in their series on December 19th, the Warriors won that game, putting 132 on Boston. Just as a quick aside.
How much did Boston have?
Don't worry about how much Boston had. 126. Okay.
Didn't have 88.
I mean, we see this every year. It not to this extent, obviously. You're absolutely right before you say that. But we see this in the playoffs, especially where a team will like blow out a team in game one and everyone's like, oh, that's the series, like this is over. And then they end up losing that series more often than not, or you know, at least sometimes. I mean, shit,
Competing should be the word you use there.
What did I say?
You said they end up winning. They end up competing in the series.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're right. They end up competing in the series. I mean, we look at it last year. Just last year, Miami went up 3-0 on the Boston Celtics, and then the Celtics had a chance to win that game seven in overtime. Like, it's one of those. And everyone, we talked about it here. Miami had no business in that series, and then they ended up winning it. So it's, I don't want to, Steph has been playing very well this year. This, I think, was kind of like a weird thing. I don't think Golden State's completely out of it. I mean, Chris Paul didn't even play. Oh, wait, Chris Paul did play in this game.
This was his return game. Yeah.
I know, 7 assists. that was just a little Easter egg for the fans. But yeah, Boston looks like the clear number one in the East for sure. And the all roads go through Denver, it looks like, which I have no problem with. We talked about that at the beginning of the season. I had Golden State making a pretty deep run in the playoffs, but you know, Denver's the champs until they're not. I just don't want to say Golden State is done. Like,
but right now they're number 9 in the West. I think they're going to make the play in for sure. But the thing is, it's the confidence. Do you have, and not you specifically, because obviously you have unbridled confidence in them. It's, do you have confidence in this team to perform at a high level for 7 straight games if need be, or in the play in one game, 2 games potentially max. And I can't say I do consistently across the board. Can I count on Steph to show up? Yes. Can I count on Kuminga to show up in that situation? I don't know yet. Haven't seen it. Wiggins hasn't done it outside of the 1 year where they won and beat Boston.
That was crazy.
Draymond, I don't know if he's in his right mind half the time now. Klay,
no, you're right. I'm
done.
Klay's done. Klay's coming off the bench. I will be honest with you. I am starting to sell my Golden State stock. I'm not divesting all the funds, but I am starting to sell. Looking over at that island, that Denver Nuggets island, that looks pretty good. It's getting a little crowded, but
I don't want you on my island.
Maybe I could get in for a little cheaper.
Don't want you on my island.
I don't want to say it's the end of the world, but we both know this is true. It never ends well.
It never ends pretty.
No, it's happened a few times in major sports. John Elway with the back-to-back Super Bowls and then rides off into the sunset. I mean, even with Tom Brady, he won that year and then wanted to come back, and then it just turned into a mess.
Yeah,
so it's like very rarely do these dynasties end pretty. I mean, look at the fucking Patriots. You know, everyone's like, oh, now Tom Brady's out of there, Belichick will keep, and it's like a disaster.
Yeah.
So
it was so bad they had to bring in a black guy to be the coach now. That's how you know your program's struggling. They're like, you know what? You know who can clean this up? Black guy.
Just ask Mark Davis. It is interesting. This is a total aside.
Just ask the Houston Texans.
Dude, they
tried it 3 times in a row. David Culley, Lovie Smith, DeMarco Wright, DeMeco.
I do find this interesting, bringing up the Patriots. I didn't put 2 and 2 together until I heard someone say it. Tom Brady, and this is interesting because we're talking basketball. So like with Steph and with Klay, with these huge contracts, and obviously Jaylen Brown just getting all that money. And then LeBron, you know, his contract is coming to an end and he wants like 3 years, like $160 million. It's interesting that with the Patriots, Tom Brady was always restructuring his deal to keep better players around him. And that was one of his calling cards. Did you know in the last decade, the Patriots ranked 32nd in spending?
Yeah.
But that's crazy. Like, you were always telling this guy.
I was saying he always took less and they never re-signed the guys that he wanted them to sign. Like, he took less to bring back Wes Walker and they didn't bring back Wes Walker.
Yeah,
he took less
it's weird because
to bring back, there was another player he wanted them to bring back and they didn't. At one
there's point. That Dynasty program documentary that
on Apple now. I don't really care.
Yeah, and I haven't been watching it, but I listened to a lot of The Ringer, and obviously Bill Simmons has been watching it. So it's interesting to hear his takes where he's like, yeah, they're making Kraft look like a god. And it's like, he's not a good, like he had one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Right?
Yeah, it was all luck. Like Belichick and Brady, like this guy didn't spend any money. So I to parlay that into what we're talking about, I don't want this.
I don't know if that's Robert Kraft's decision though, because I feel like if Belichick, because you got to remember Belichick was also the GM, so Belichick made the decisions. And quiet as kept, Belichick not the greatest GM. Look at his draft history. Look at his free agent signings. Like, didn't it's work out terrible. Most of the times.
Yeah, so, it was Tom Brady. That was Tom Brady won Belichick too. But
I won't say he won him too. I think Bill was really good, but there were certain positions Bill did not know how to evaluate and how to draft receivers. He never was good. I was about to say. He ended up lucking into, he saw Wes Welker play for Miami, brought him in. He saw Julie Edelman was kind of an aberration. He saw what Randy Moss could do and got him for a song, brought him in. Like outside of those three guys, like receiving talent, not the deepest.
You're not a big Josh Gordon coming off his inventive, third suspension guy?
He was inventive with the tight end duo with Hernandez and Gronk. He foresaw where that could go. So, but and defensively, I mean, more hits than misses.
Yeah, for sure on the defensive line, side
more
of
hits than misses.
Yeah, and I guess the point I was trying to make is the same thing that we're talking about with Golden State, where it's like it's going to end and it's going to be somebody's fault and somebody's going to take the blame for this. I don't know who it's going to be. Maybe it's Kerr. Maybe it's Clay. But someone's going to.
Not Kerr. They just signed. They just re-signed him for 2 years, 75.
I know, but that's the same. Well, look at Belichick.
What the fault of the Golden State Warriors is going to come down to ownership and Bob Myers, who's no longer there.
He got out.
He got out at the right time. But it's because that year after Durant, when Durant got hurt and then Clay got hurt and Durant leaves and Clay's obviously hurt and they're not going to do much, they wanted to get younger.
They had this whole idea of transitioning.
Exactly. They had this idea of, hey, let's get young while our guys are getting old, and then we can, you know, there can be a pass the torch or they grow up with that. And it's like, no, as I've told you 1,000 times, you have to maximize your winning window. You can't be planning for the future and for right now at the same time. You have to commit to one or the other. And now we see Wiseman's gone. Kuminga's now starting to flourish. Like, It takes
the Wiseman long thing was a disaster. They to took develop. Him too.
Yeah, they see he was a second overall pick. It takes a while for those guys to get better because you're not going to be spending your time developing guys when you're trying to compete for championships. Like for them to win that fourth one was a miracle. Like that they hit lightning in a bottle with that one. And I will say to my last dying breath, the Celtics should have beat them. The Celtics were the better team. Steph Curry just went supernova, and Boston had zero answers, and Jason Tatum had zero answers for that. So
I'm glad we spent 13 minutes on something.
Yeah, we didn't. You freaking about the Patriots and the Apple deck. This is what happens to us every week. All right, Brennan, rookie of the year. Who you got, Chet or Wemby?
I want to say Chet because he's on a better team, but Wemby's an alien. It's insane what he does. It's going to be Wemby.
All right.
Who do you got? I'm sorry. I was trying to make up time.
I was like, man, Jesus Christ, blindsided me how fast that was. I am also going to go Wemby, one, because I'm not a fan of the guy who like misses out his actual rookie season and then gets to play the next year and then gets it. I detest that. You're not a rookie anymore. Blake Griffin
corollary?
The Blake Griffin, the Ben Simmons. Like, you're not a rookie anymore, dog.
Ben Simmons won what?
Yeah, Ben Simmons also sat out a year and then won it the next year. Wemby has had some pretty standout performances. He had a 5-5-5-5 game. A minimum of 5 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds, 5 blocks, 5 steals. He's averaging a double-double, which shouldn't be shocking because he's 7 feet, 1,000. But he's also averaging like nearly 4 blocks a game, which is highly, highly impressive. Chet has he has a great argument. You know, Golden State was a bubble team, not a bubble, but a playing team last year, I want to say. And now that he's there full time, they're a team that is, you know, competing for number one in the West right now. He's averaging 17 a game to Wemby's 20 a game. He's averaging 7 points a game to Wemby's 10 a game, 2.6 blocks to Wemby's 3.4 blocks. Like, statistically, Wemby is playing ahead of him.
Wait, what did you say, Chet? Because I'm on Basketball Reference, and it says Chet's at 17 points a game.
I said 17, yeah. 17
I thought you said seven, and I was am I looking at something
seven
wrong?
Seven rebounds, 7.8 rebounds.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
He is a 50-40, he's a 50-40 field goal threes. What's Chet at?
Who's 50-40?
I'm sorry, Chet Holmgren is right now 54% from the floor, 39% from three. 39. I'm curious to see where Wemby is. I'll look it up right now.
I got you.
Wemby's 47% from the field, 33% from three. This guy's nuts, though. 20, 10, and 3.
Also, your percentages helps when you aren't the main focus of a team. Chet is playing next to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's probably taking more of a load. Top three? So yeah.
Do you have SGA in the top three
of MVP right now?
No, just play. Well, yeah. I mean, I guess technically players in the NBA.
Yeah, for sure. He'll be top three. Playing out of his mind, averaging over 30 points a game.
Yeah.
Nearly seven assists.
It's interesting to see Doc being like, I told him not to trade him. I told him not to trade him, man.
I had all the confidence that he was going to be good.
He was going to be this guy, a top three NBA talent. The thing is,
I don't think people thought he was going to be a top three, MVP talent, but a lot of people really did like him when he was on that Clipper team. And yeah, when they traded him, it was like, man, you're really going to trade him for like I understand Paul George, but Paul George didn't do much when him and Westbrook were in OKC. Like, I don't see why, like, it feels like redundant skill set with Kawhi and Paul George. Like, so I think if Shai Gilgeous is still in LA, they are probably a better team, because for that first like 2 years, Kawhi was de facto point guard in a way because they had no setup guy.
Yeah. Yep.
So Shai Gilgeous would have took some of that load off of him. But yeah, everything happens the way it's supposed to happen. Shai Gilgeous also goes to OKC, and then Chris Paul goes to OKC, and he develops
under that tutelage.
Yeah, he develops a little more with that help. So
that's why Wake Forest shouldn't storm courts. They got people like Chris Paul coming out of there.
And only. All right, brother. LeBron hit a milestone never before dreamed of. 40,000 points. Did it over this weekend in a loss to the Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets has now beat the Lakers, I believe it's eight straight times? I think it's seven straight times. No, because we beat them a couple games before the playoffs as well. I think it's nine straight times. At least eight straight times. But we beat them. We swept them in the postseason.
That's four.
We beat them game one of this season in the Who's Your Daddy game, because they were mad that we were talking about them over the offseason and all that after we swept them. We beat them on Kobe statue night, which I felt was very disrespectful. But, got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, and the Nuggets have won all three.
And we beat them this game. Yeah, it's the first time. Oh, man, I saw a stat.
So it's at least seven, because they beat them these three, the four in this playoffs.
I think there was one right before the playoffs last year as well. But I think I read a stat somewhere. This is the first time a team has swept multiple regular season MVPs in a season. We beat the Warriors four times this season. We've beat the Lakers three times this season.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, yeah. But LeBron, 40,000 points. I think I said 4,000 earlier. 40,000 points. Extremely impressive. Last year, he eclipsed, Will Chamberlain. Sorry, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record for the most points in the NBA career.
Also lost that game.
Lost that game as well. But like Brennan said, he doesn't appear to be slowing down, man. He wants to re-up. He wants another three-year deal. Do you think it's realistic for LeBron to try to continue playing?
Yeah, I think it's definitely realistic. He invests, there's that stat that always is floating around. It's like $1.3 million a year into his body. He's hyper competitive about that kind of stuff. The only person who would have ever come close to the 40,000, Kobe was a little over 33,000 in the 13 season. And then he only played six games in the next season. What the Achilles thing happens, and then he only plays six games. Then the next year after that, he only plays 30. So who knows if the Achilles tear never happens, what he would have done. Because, if you take his average for just those two seasons, it would have been about 7,000, or excuse me, it would have gotten him to about 37,000 points. And so he might have played an extra year just to try to get to 40. I think the biggest thing for LeBron is his durability. And what I mean by that is, in the last 5 years, he's missed, close to 20 games a season each season, but he doesn't have the ACL. He doesn't have the...
This year he's missed very few games.
Yeah, and he's actually been on point this year. But last year was the groin last year. Yeah. The year before it was something weird.
But no, yeah, last year was the foot. The year before it was the groin. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So no one's going to touch this. The closest player, I think, through some of the podcasts and stats I was looking at, was Luka. And Luka's already like 3,000 points behind the pace to even get close to this. So it's like,
you'd have to kick it into high gear. That boy scores. I don't know.
Yeah. And he's like, no, excuse me.
73 earlier this year.
It was like 2,200 points behind the pace at the age that LeBron was. And the funny thing about that is,
those are the LeBron's not a scorer years.
Yeah. Oh, and the other thing too that's crazy about that is the fact that it's like, yeah, 2,200 points in an entire season is a huge accomplishment. Like, to be like, oh, he's 2,200 behind the pace. It's like, yeah, and then he's got to keep pace.
Yeah,
the
rest, he's a season behind. So now
yeah, he's a season behind.
Yes, outpace like the next five seasons to then finally be on pace.
Yeah, exactly. So it's I don't think anyone's going to touch it.
21 years. Like,
and we were talking about this before the mics went on, just about getting older and stuff like that. It's interesting to actually say this, and it's the truth, but I'm 35. I'll be 36 in a couple of weeks or in like 2 months. Is it feasible to start saying things like, in my lifetime, will I ever see anyone come close to what LeBron did? Because you have to think about this. It's going to take a 20-year career to even come close to that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm getting up to the point in my age where it's like, yeah, in like another 5 or 10 years, if someone's not on pace, I won't see it in my lifetime. So it's just, it's a crazy thing to think about, because when you're younger, you're always like, oh, records get broken all the time. But I don't think anyone's ever going to come close to that. You know, congrats to LeBron. Happening, another milestone happening in a loss, just like the Lakers like to do it, man.
But what I was going to say, I disagree, though. I don't think it's feasible for him to continue trying to play, even though he is obviously up to it. Is LeBron, is it fun to lose? Like, you're on a team that's, you know, just floating above 500. You're bottom of the play-in bracket. If the play-in doesn't exist, we wouldn't even be talking about the Warriors and the Lakers as far as being in the playoff picture
postseason, yeah,
right now. So is this what you really want? Is this what the next 3 years you want? More of this, more mediocrity? And the longer you're around, the longer you're staying in the limelight, people are just going to, are you mentally strong enough? Maybe he is. Maybe he's gotten to the point where it's like, I don't care what the media says. I just want to play. I just want to compete.
Yeah, but he does care. He cares a lot.
I was about to say, but we know he cares. So it's like all the scrutiny that's going to come with this as well. Like, remember, like, towards the end of Kobe's career, we had people saying like, oh, he's just taking money. He can't play because he's suffered all these injuries and he's hamstringing the team and what they can do cap flexibility wise. Like, if LeBron becomes that much of the cap, it's like, you know, are you even trying to win? Like, who can you bring in? And people are already wondering that now. Like, who can you actually bring in? All this hype is made behind Rui Hachimura and Spencer Dinwiddie and Harry Giles. And it's like, those guys are castaways from bad teams. Like, I don't think this is going to improve your team. Like, when they went and got a Jason Hayes and Cam Reddish this offseason, and there was another kid they got. Oh, Christian Cam Woods. Cam
looks like he doesn't even want to touch the ball.
All these guys they got over this offseason, it's like, there's a reason. I said it then. I was like, none of these guys make me think that the Lakers are going to beat the Nuggets. And that's the standard bearer right now. The team, the championship team that swept you in the Western Conference Finals, you have to be thinking, how do we get better than them? And no move they've made in the offseason or throughout the duration of this season so far has made them better than that team. And it bears out in the head-to-head matchups against them and in the standings alone.
Yeah. But I think it's one of those things. I mean, we see it a lot in sports. Guys don't look around and go, oh, I'm not helping this team. This team can't win. So I'm just going to retire. Like, they go to a different team.
My thing is, so Vince
Did you
Carter,
see any of this game? Did you see any of the game?
Of the game we just beat them in?
No, yeah. The 40,000 point game.
Yeah.
He looked like vintage LeBron. No, like, he's watching that game, good. I'm like, yeah, he can
but
keep
the
playing.
Problem is, he is good, but him being good does not equal wins at this stage.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
So unless you're gonna love the game and play like Vince Carter did, where he's taking like the league, the veteran minimum for his time served, you can then still build. That would be the Tom Brady effect. You can build a team of very talented players around a LeBron who is super cerebral, who could be your floor general and do a lot to help you win. Or you can just collect checks and be on mediocre to bad teams and nobody's really going to care other than to crush you and say, hey, why are you playing on mediocre and bad teams? Like, isn't this all about winning?
Yeah, no, you're right. I completely agree with the sentiment that, like, I think LeBron can keep playing, but I don't think it might be to the detriment of a team. Yeah. Because, like we're talking about, all those guys they got in the offseason, they were available for a reason. Like, they were out there for a reason. So
nobody was looking to bring those guys in.
Yeah, so like, I think it is an interesting thing. Everyone's still going to talk about LeBron and the Lakers because it's LeBron and the Lakers. But I do find it fascinating, to your point.
But the lens in which they look at it.
Yep, exactly what I was going to say is, yeah, it's going to be just like the lens with his son, where he was hyping him up like crazy. And then, what was it, last week? He was like, hey, can y'all just leave him alone and let him play basketball? It's like, you did this. This is the Matt Rife thing all over again.
There was a tweet you sent where it's like, watching League Pass, my son is better than half of these dudes.
Yep.
And now it's just let him be a kid. Like, you can't have it both ways, my guy.
Yep. God. So, all right.
It's hard growing up and being a dad, you know?
Don't I know
records, it. Speaking of records being broken, didn't want to get out of the show without commending Caitlin Clark for beating the NCAA scoring record. I don't have the exact number in front of me. A record held by Pistol Pete for quite some time. People will tell you the caveats. Pistol Pete did it in 3 years. Pistol Pete did it without a three-point line and all that jazz, but doesn't matter. As we say in the NFL,
3,667.
You can only play who's in front of you. She went and beat the record that was in front of her in the allotted time. There's no extra year that she didn't take a COVID year. She's also announced that she's going to forego her potential COVID year and she's going to go to the WNBA. And before you listen to, and you probably already listened to the people because they got to it before us. No, this doesn't mean she's going to earn less. She's not taking a quote-unquote pay cut by going to the WNBA. I don't know if you guys know, but she doesn't have a salary at Iowa. She'll have a salary on top of the NIL sponsorships that she have. Those deals don't just end once you graduate. Yeah.
Those are sponsorships, everybody. They still want her to be a sponsor.
You think State Farm's going to be like, oh, we don't need her anymore. No, you can probably just still keep because her name is still going to ring bells. Like, people still know who she is. In 1 year, people won't just have amnesia and forget who she is. So on top of the money she has from her sponsorships, she will then be earning a salary for the first time because, again, college basketball players do not earn salaries. Their schools do not pay them anything. So she is still playing for free, but she's making money outside of her playing.
Can I run something by you real quick?
Go for it.
So I heard that, I think, was it Van Lathan? It was someone much smarter. So it wasn't Van. It was someone much smarter than me.
Shots fired, Van.
But
coming for you, Van.
But
taking your movie review podcast.
We're coming for it.
Taking higher learning.
I heard this interesting thing about how, remember in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s, maybe even the mid 80s, how March Madness was like a thing. Yeah. Like that's where March Madness came from. Mm. And that translated it took about a decade, but it did translate into more fandom for the NBA. Mm. And I'm thinking, this thought was provoked by hearing someone else talk about this, that the women's college basketball is much more, I guess, easier to follow because the women stay longer. It's more fun than the men's. The competition seems to be a little bit more
even.
What's the word that we always say?
Evenly distributed.
Parity.
There's parity.
The parity. There's a lot more parity. Do you think that would lead to a increase in WNBA popularity in the next like 5 to 10 years. I'm not saying tomorrow, but I'm saying, you know, you get Caitlin Clark in there, and then you get some of these other players that we, Sabrina Ionescu, like some of these other women in there, and people are going to watch.
No doubt. Okay, you didn't do as bad as a job that I thought you were going to do setting that up. Great job of you. Proud of
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, man. These broads. Sorry.
I had
to take it back down.
For sure. And that wasn't, I didn't think you were going to say the wrong thing. I thought your setup was going to be more, is Caitlin Clark going to single-handedly revive?
Oh, no, not even, yeah, WNBA. Not just her. There's,
yeah, that's what a lot of people have been saying. Like, can she single-handedly change people's opinion and watch? At the end of the day, if you want to watch, you're going to watch. There's not going to be one player, one thing that makes people want to watch. The viewership for women's sports across the board has gone up. It is always been about accessibility and the conversation and storylines. Yes, Caitlin Clark going, that's another person we know on top of Aaliyah Boston, on top of Asia Wilson, on top of Sabrina Ionescu, on top of Breonna Stewart. That we're stacking more prominent names that have penetrated the cultural zeitgeist. Angel Reese, whenever she decides to go. Juju Watkins, a young freshman.
Watkins, that was the one I was trying to think
of. Yeah, a young freshman at USC. In a couple years, we'll see her eventually go. Michaela Williams.
You know, she wasn't allowed to play in middle school because she was so good.
That's insanity. That's funny.
Yeah, they were just like, you can't, this isn't fair. You can't play.
Hannah Heiligo at Notre Dame. Like, we're going to start hearing these names more. And it's a part of, it's a job that the media has to play in learning all these names, because a problem that the media tends to do is they only have the bandwidth for one star at a time in the female sport. Caitlin Clark, you've heard Caitlin Clark's name 1,000 times more than anybody at South Carolina. And South Carolina has just had back-to-back undefeated regular seasons.
Yeah.
They can't, it's the inability to hold multiple storylines at once. So if the media decides that they want to talk about the WNBA in multiples, in more than one team, then we'll see that. I think this year is going to be very interesting because we have two free agency teams, two teams that were built, well, one team that was built on a free agency big three, and then we have the Aces built on, you know, through the draft and then bringing in Candace Parker. But now we're going to have Kelsey Mitchell. We're going to have Erica Wheeler. We're going to have Aaliyah Boston. And we're going to have Caitlin Clark in Indiana, because Indiana, the Fever, have the first pick. So that makes another natural big three. And what can they do? Is her game going to translate? And is it going to be an event? The people have to want to go seek it out. And again, like I said, the sport has been growing. The sport has been rising. Sponsors have been coming to the table. Attendance has gone up. Social media engagement has gone up. Viewership has gone up since they've been on more channels now. They have their own app and everything like that. So it's trending in the right direction. It's funny. I produce a podcast for Kenea Montgomery now. Renee Montgomery. I did a thing there. And she had a professor on this episode. I don't know if it's ever going to get released or not. I think we should release this interview, though. But the professor was saying how the WNBA, we got to remember, it's only like 27, 28 years old now.
Yeah.
It's exactly where the NBA was in its 28th, 27th year. The NBA doesn't really get popping until, like you said, the mid-80s, when Bird and Magic go, and then they pass the baton to Jordan, and Jordan passes the baton to everything that then happens. Like,
then precedes it. Yeah. Well, and that's what I'm thinking, is that because of even what you're talking about with the timeline, I'm thinking the women's basketball, college women's basketball, is more popular than the men's.
Yeah, by far.
And I think what you're saying about the media is very true, and I can translate it to my life, because in the 90s and 2000s, early 2000s, there was the black comedic rule of three, where you could only have three black comedians in the limelight at any given time. It's a very common thing that's discussed in comedy circles. And that kind of has obviously fallen by the wayside in the last 10, 12 years, maybe. So I'm thinking the same thing you're talking about with the NBA, the same thing I'm talking about with entertainment. I'm thinking that logic has to apply, you know, the transitive property of A, then B equals C, then A, then B equals C. it has to apply to the WNBA. Women's college basketball is more popular. They're talking about more. I mean, not a ton, like you said, but they are talking about more. Like the fact that I knew the whole thing about Juju in middle school. Like
in terms of they're talking about it more. They're talking about it more than men's college basketball, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And more than they had before.
More than they had before. The thing is, across platforms, it's still maybe one block on PTI, and yes, it's only Caitlin Clark. It's one block on Around the Horn, and it's only Caitlin Clark.
You're right.
So it's like, yes, we're hearing about it more, but are we hearing about it more across the board? When Caitlin Clark leaves next year, what is the one thing that they then talk about?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So yeah.
But there's a lot of talent in the WNBA, which we're going to get to.
So much talent. Can't wait. You said WNBA, it's women's college basketball.
I'm sorry. Women's college basketball, which we're going to get to.
All right. So the end of the regular season has just taken place. This was the final week. Senior nights are in the book. And we have your final. Who's in? Who's out? Who's up? Who's down? Brendan, which one do you want first?
Let's keep the tradition going as we always do. Who's in, who's out?
All right. Who's in, who's out? Brennan, I'm about to look up where this school is located because I don't remember. I've heard the name so many times. Cannot tell you what state it's in or anything. The Fairfield Stags. I had to say it eventually because I can't find where the heck they're from. So I can find it on their ESPN thing. They are from Connecticut, Fairfield, Connecticut. Huh. They're in the MAC.
Different
than the MAC. They're in the MAC. They're in at number 25. West Virginia is out at 24. They fell from 24. So your top six consists of South Carolina, Stanford went up two spots to number two. Iowa went up three spots to number three after beating Ohio State, who went two spots down to number four. And USC at number five, first time they've been ranked top five at the end of the season since 1994. And Texas rounds out your six. Then you got UCLA, LSU, UConn, and NC State rounding up your top 10. Virginia Tech took a loss, falling down to number 11. Indiana at 12. Oregon State at 13, Notre Dame at 14, Gonzaga at 15. Gonzaga women's play way better than Gonzaga men. I haven't heard anything about Gonzaga men this year. You got Colorado down at 18, Baylor at 17, Louisville at 24. Zach Randolph's daughter just committed to Louisville, by the way.
No, that's cool.
Yeah. But yeah, that is.
Oh, please tell me her game's like her dad's.
Not
just wearing that headband out there.
I saw
mean mugging everybody. What was his nickname?
Zeebo. Yeah. All right. So, and for the men's,
why was it Zeebo?
Zach Randolph, and then nope. Debo.
I knew it had something to do with that. Zeebo.
Yeah.
For those of you listening, Debo from Friday was the bully, villain.
There we go. All right. So the men's.
When I was in middle school, just quick aside, when I was in middle school, when you would steal something from somebody, it was called Debo.
Yeah. Still to this day. I mean, I don't know if it's still to this day, but back.
We got to bring that back. Everybody, if you're going to take something from somebody, be
or
like,
you could not take something from you could just
I'm
let
gonna Debo
people
that.
Have their stuff, like their property. You don't. I don't condone thieving.
Joe's such a sweet boy. He's such a sweet soul.
So in the men's, I think they aren't done just yet. They still have a couple more games. For the rest of this week, I want to say. So right now, your top 25 for who is in, who's out. Florida is out. The Florida Gators took an L this week, and they're out of here. Utah State is in. They're coming in. They're ranked at number 22. Who's up, who's down? Let me just go from the top to the bottom here. Houston, still number one. UConn, back to number two. Purdue, down at number three. Tennessee at number four. Arizona, number five. Iowa State at number six. North Carolina is at seven. Marquette fell down to number eight. Duke jumped up to number nine. And Creighton went up two spots to number 10. Your biggest fall this week was St. Mary's. They fell down 6 spots to number 23. Dayton fell down 4 spots, down to 25. Kentucky, Kansas was your biggest fall.
I was going to say it. I missed that.
Kansas, your biggest faller, dropping 7 spots to number 14. Kentucky is at number 15. Gonzaga is ranked now. They're at number 4. BYU up to 6, up 6 spots, number 20. So, there is a lot of moving and shaking. Yeah, Baylor jump up 4 spots, number 11. Baylor in a highly contested game right now against
Texas. Wait, am I losing my mind? I don't see Gonzaga on here. What did you say Gonzaga was?
19.
Oh, 19. Got it. Up 4.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is what is going on.
And my Florida Atlantic Owls are on the bubble.
The A-Sun tournament has started. That is where the by the way, my team made UNF made the Sports Center Top 10 this week.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, there was I think it was the end of the first half. Half Swoop. Court heave. Swish. So, all right. The A-Sun tournament has already started. We play Austin Peay tomorrow at 8 p.m. Okay.
So how does it work with the men's college basketball? We go the regular season, and then everyone has their conference tournament for like a week or two.
Yep.
And then the conference tournament counts
towards... The conference tournament is always weird because the conference tournament, you'll have the lower teams' conference tournaments 1 week, and then like towards the end of this week or the start of next week, then the big schools start their conference tournaments.
But those still count as games played for seeding, right?
Yes and no. So if you're a big school, it's games for seeding. You could, if you can go on a run, you could potentially find your way into the tournament based on like a 3-game win streak in your conference tournament. But for a mid-major or lower tier school, they have one automatic bid for the tournament winner.
No, so but that's what I'm saying. Okay.
So, I would say even if you won the regular season, like the A-Sun's not getting more than one team in. So there was a year where we won the A-Sun, UNF won the A-Sun regular season, but lost to the tournament, so we didn't get to go.
So how does that doesn't make any sense to me. Why? So is your seeding in the tournament, the conference tournament, based on where you ended up after the regular season? Like the regular season has to mean something.
Well, Brendan, once you add 68 teams into a tournament, it really don't mean nothing.
No, but you know what I'm saying. Like, on paper, they have to logically try to make it mean something. So,
say, like, there's been teams who were sub 500 but won their conference tournament, they're going to be a 16 seed. There's no way they're going to be anything above a 16 seed.
So that's how it'll factor. Case, because we made it to the Final Four last year, and then we've had a couple tough losses. Like, are we just out if we don't win our conference tournament?
No, I think you guys still get in because you guys had some big marquee wins. You guys
we've beaten a couple of top 10 teams.
You guys will be one of those teams that's like an 8, somewhere between 12 and 8.
So we're in the tournament.
Yeah, you guys are going to get in the tournament. Unless you guys like lose first round of your conference tournament. If you lose first round of the conference tournament, it does matter. Yeah. It matters to a degree.
Who makes the bracket? Is this people or is this based on like the BCS old school like computer generated?
It's people.
I fucking hate people.
Bunch of people get in a room and they hammer it out.
All right. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah. All righty. This has been a long show. Longer than I anticipated.
You'd be surprised how quick.
Quick hit.
We'll do it.
We'll do it at night because we'll do it super fast. Yeah,
didn't work.
And then we had a big pre-production about my fucking idiot self.
Brennan! Hey, Jason Kelsey retired. Jason Kelsey, 13 years with the Philadelphia Eagles, finally said goodbye in a heartfelt, teary goodbye letter, retirement letter. Watched it. First time I watched like a full retirement speech. It was like 30 odd minutes. I just sat there. I watched it effectively like a podcast, which is, I think, a lot of how we consume media nowadays. You put it on while you're doing something, you know. It was touching. It was emotional. He talked about his upbringing. He talked about the role his mother and his father played in his life. He talked about, you know, his relationship with his brother. He talked about how he got counted out so many times. There was a moment in time where he thought he was going to get traded from the Eagles because he had a poor season. And what he assumes is nobody called. And then he got with Jeff Stoutland and then had the greatest year of his career. And that culminated with a Super Bowl winning performance. He thanked all his coaches. I think the Pro Football Hall of Fame's Twitter account even tweeted like, well, 2029, we know who's going to be in there. So this guy is a bona fide, no doubt Hall of Famer, walks right into the hall, walks right into getting a statue outside of Philly, more than likely, getting his jersey number retired. Just a great guy, great player, a great representative of the team and the city. There's never been a doubt in my mind as far as can I rely on Jason Kelce?
Yeah, man, it's gonna
except
be
except for not wearing a goddamn fluorescent glove and us getting those goddamn offsides calls. But other than that,
it's gonna be a weird day in Philly without Jason under center or as the center. It's well documented on this show and on my podcast. I'm not the biggest fan of his brother, but Jason's one of the people that when you start playing football, the people that you want to emulate, like the people that your parents, if you grew up idolizing Jason Kelce, your parents would be like, thank God, like this is awesome. You know what I mean? Like he's everything you want to be as a player and as a person. And we're just getting old, man. It's over. End of an era.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
A lot of love and respect to Jason Kelce.
Yeah. Man. Got dusty watching, man.
I almost got dusty just now talking about it.
I would say he was getting choked up. I was about to say, it was the stuff. It wasn't like, funny enough, I didn't get choked up when he was like going through any of the Eagle stuff or anything. Then it was when he was like, it was when he was talking about his brother, man. And just like being a brother myself and, you know, being brothers who were into sports, he talked about how, you know, we were growing up on, he named like the road they grew up on and how they would emulate their favorite players and they were winning Super Bowls before they even, you know, made it to the league and everything. And I was like, man, that is so relatable. I remember being in the
driveway. Oh, is that relatable? Must be nice.
No.
Must be nice.
No, this is even without like, sometimes I played with my brother, sometimes I didn't. But I remember like times where I was in the driveway shooting the game winning shot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And all that stuff. And it's like, for them to be doing that and then eventually in the game winning drive, doing the game winning play, it's like, that's insane. And for both of them to, you know, accomplish that goal eventually, like, that's crazy.
We talk about it all the time, and this is why sports are so important and so meaningful to people. As children, you grow up wanting to, you know, you grow up being, you know, oh, he makes the catch, and there goes Brennan at the 10, at the 5, touchdown, Jaguars, ha! And you grow up as a kid doing that. And
Jaguars were not a team when you were doing that, but okay.
You know what I'm saying. And then to actually have that come to a realization is an incredible thing. Not every, because only a Sith deals in absolutes, but most little kids who like sports dream of playing sports at the highest level, you know? And it's, you know, it means a lot to people. It brings people together and it gives you something to shoot for, you know? Keep your nose clean and swing for the fences. Who knows what can happen?
Yeah.
They did it, man.
Thank you. Just want to say thank you. 13 great years.
Clip it. Send it to him.
In the NHL, Brennan, with a win tonight, the Florida Panthers have now officially taken back, because we had it on that week we weren't on. But we've taken back the number one seed in the Atlantic. You guys are 4 shots behind, tied with Detroit. The Phillies are 3rd in the Metro. Colorado is 3rd in the Central. Wow, Vegas is 3rd in the Pacific. shout out these teams because these are new low related teams. Winnipeg, number one in the Central. Vancouver, number one in the Pacific. We beat the Rangers, who are number one in the Metropolitan. So right now, the wild card, you guys are second in the wild card. You guys are definitely going to be the eighth seed, which is very annoying.
Yeah.
If we're the one seed. Because you guys are definitely going to be ahead of the Islanders, even though they have three games in hand. Them and the Caps have three games in hand, but don't think that would be enough for them to catch you still. So, nice little 1v8 matchup between me and you, Brennan. How you feel about that?
I'm excited for it. You know what the Panthers did as the eighth seed the other year?
Yeah, you saw what we did to you guys earlier this year. 9-2, baby. 9-2.
Hey, that's not appropriate.
Bazzy doesn't look as good, doesn't look as hot as he used to. Panthers are on a 5-game winning streak. I should point that out as well. All right, on to soccer. In the MLS, Messi and them boys in Miami won their last game. I believe it was 5-0 in the, what do you call it?
I don't know.
Dang it. So you guys had a funny name for it on Levitar show the other day. The Battle of the Bright Line. That's what it is. It's the train that goes through Florida. The like commuter train. Miami won 5-0. Crushing Orlando. So yeah, Miami currently top of the table in the East. We have played one more game than everybody else in the East because we started the season and then played Sunday immediately right after that. So yeah, that is going on in the MLS. Atlanta has only played one game so far. How have they only played one game where everybody else has played at least two? Was this due to weather? There was some weather stuff I know. Vancouver Whitecaps also played one game, so maybe Atlanta was going to play Vancouver in Vancouver. I know there was a lot of snow in the Northwest, so maybe they canceled that game due to that. But what we have been waiting for, what Brennan has been waiting for, patiently sitting here, Fulham.
Dun, 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 dun,
North. Fulham beat Brighton Hove Albion 3-0 this past weekend. We had a goal from Muniz. Had a goal from Harry Wilson. Harry Wilson scored on an assist from Muniz. And Muniz scored on an assist from Harry Wilson. Little 1-2 combo right there on the right side of the pitch. And then to cap it off, Adama Traore came in, subbed on at the end, and he got a nice little goal there to cap it off. 3-0 victory. Brighton held the ball for 70% of the match. They were pretty much in control as far as possession was concerned. But Fulham made the most out of their counters. Countered frequent and ferociously. And we're clinical. What I've been asking for quite some time now, we're just clinical in the final third there, executing on pretty much capitalizing on a lot of the opportunities they were given. This is, we took four games off of Brighton, their top 10 club right now. So yeah, we took the 10, took 4 points off of them, tied with them away, beat them here at home. Fulham sitting at 12 on the table. Brendan, I can pretty much with nearly 100% certainty tell you right now, we are not fucking going down.
Not going down, baby.
Not going down whatsoever. I think our next game is against Wolves. We play Wolves Saturday. Wolves Saturday, Tottenham Saturday. There's a Tuesday game coming up. Okay, next month. First game of next month is a Tuesday game. That Brighton win is huge. Got a couple tough games coming here with Wolves and Tottenham right after that. And then we got Sheffield United, which is one of the bottom of the table teams. But Muniz, 5 goals in 5 games. Iwobi has looked good since coming back from the AFCON. Calvin Bassey looked fantastic this past game. Tosin, we need to re-sign him. Please, please, please. Tony, if you're listening to this and you hear nothing else, please re-sign Tosin. Tosin has been outstanding in these last couple games since he's been back in the lineup. And Sasha Lukic, I want to give a super, super huge shout out to Sasha Lukic. João Pelinha has been out the last two games due to suspension on accumulation of yellow cards, and Sasha Lukic has fit like a glove in the middle, taking his position. Marco Silva said that Sasha was having a great offseason, but a couple injuries set him back, and then Pelinha, he was always going to get, you know, first on the call sheet more times than not, but it's good to see him back. It's good to see him performing at a high level. So, yeah, we've been looking really good, threatening. Shout out to Andreas Pereira, who just got called up by the Brazil national team. So they should have also called Muniz, but you know what? They're not. They didn't. So, you know, happy we could keep the young boy's leg a little fresh going into the home stretch of the season. So, all righty.
Doing it big.
Let's get out of here.
And we'll bring you the press conference in its entirety.
Brendan, where can we find you?
Oh, everyone can find me at BrennanTComedy.com, or excuse me, at Brennan T Comedy on all social media, BrennanTComedy.com. Check out the one-man show, Ex-Drinking Buddy, A Comic's Look at Life, Near Death, Recovery, and Redemption. Also check out my other podcast, also called Ex Drinking Buddy. I have guests on to talk about their best and worst drinking, drug, party, and getting in trouble stories. Joe?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. You can find this show's Twitter and Instagram at Kieran Press. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the network, New Low and Who Does a Podcast. Go check out my website, joedorval.com. Check out the merch, check out the music, under the moniker Headphone Joe, no oh no E in the phone. Go check out Players TV on YouTube. That's where I work. We've been putting out a lot of shit. We got a show with PJ Tucker right now. First episode, he's interviewing Jadakiss about, you know, shoes. It's called Sneaker Punk. Go check out Chaneo Gwumike.
That was spot on.
YouTube. I couldn't hear it. It was so high pitch that Twitch Zoom didn't even register. I'm only going to hear it when I play it back. He did it like two or three times with the episode. I was so happy.
Yes.
Check out Kaneo Gwumike's YouTube as well. We're helping her with that, producing that show as well. And we got a show with a comedian. I don't know if you know him, Brennan. Bubba Dub. Are you aware of Bubba Dub?
No, I'm not aware of Bubba Dub.
Okay. Comedian Bubba Dub and
white guy?
Nope, black.
Come on.
And Jason Williams, White Chocolate, Jason Williams.
I know White Chocolate.
Co-host.
He's been in the news lately. What did he say?
They're co-hosting a show named No Media. So, oh, and we dropped Family First. Family First dropped today. We've been waiting on that one. I've been working on that one for 2 years now. So, happy.
Jerry Morgan from Alto, Texas.
All right. Well, Brennan, let's get out of here because I got some prep on today. Yeah. No media before I go to bed.
All right. And that's why we play the game.
Hello.
Hello. You know, there should have been a lot of shout outs, but got to do it. The OG, Chris Mortensen. Rest in peace.
All right.